We ask God, as your word goes forth, that we would be open-minded, Father, and receptive to your most holy word. My prayer, God, is that I would decrease in my flesh, that you might increase in me by the power of your Holy Spirit, and I would speak your word under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost. And that in this place, and that in this place only, but also everywhere where your word is going forth, that it would convict those who know not the pardon of their sins through the blood of your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Father, remember those who are absent on today, those that are sick in their bodies, Father, those who had to work. You know every situation and circumstance. We ask that you would be with them now and bless them, Father, even where they are. And Lord, we be ever so grateful, Father, to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. We ask it now in the matchless name of your Son, Yeshua, our Lord. And everyone said amen and amen. And at this time, I want everybody to move to the front. My family, come on, front row. We hear our text for this morning. It came from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Verse 1, very, very familiar passage of scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 from the English Standard Version. And the word of God reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The King James Version says that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I like the fact that the Bible starts out by saying now. How many of you know that sometimes you need now faith? Amen. When you go to the doctor and you get that bad report, that you have cancer or you have some other type of sickness that requires right now faith. Mm-hmm. When your money is funny and your change is strange and they're about to repossess your car and foreclose on your house, that requires some right now faith. When your husband is about to leave you, walk out on you and the kids, that requires right now faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Friday evening, as me and my wife, it is our custom that at least twice a month we have our own little date night. I mean, you know, that's important in a marriage, amen. And we were there with her Uncle Denver, and he had a friend that was from my hometown, Dwayne. He joined us for that night, and he was here for the weekend. And he was telling me, you know, because I'm from the Washington, D.C. area, and he's been there for 30 years. He's actually from Charleston, but he's been working in the Washington, D.C. area with the Metro Transportation System for the last 30 years. And he says, you know, after the inauguration, you know, people were rioting on the streets of Washington, D.C. And even as I went and I checked my Facebook, because, you know, I don't really do a whole lot of social media, and I'm only on Facebook maybe a couple times a week. And, you know, I was reading the comments of some of the folks, and which happened to be Christian, by the way. And you can tell by their comments that they were feeling a sense of demise, because the Obamas were leaving and the Trumps were entering office. And I begin to question myself amongst the Christian community, who is your faith in? You have to understand that even when something as simple is that, when your faith is in God, you understand that God is sovereign, and it doesn't matter who's in office, whether it be the Obamas or whether it be the Trumps. It doesn't matter. If you understand and believe that God is sovereign, know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Who is your faith in? I want to speak momentarily from a message today simply entitled Footprints of Faith. Footprints of Faith. And I want to read to you a poem, very, very a familiar poem written by Curlin Carty back in 1963 called Footprints. And it says, one night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. It was during your times of trial and suffering when you see only one set of footprints, because it was then that I carried you. Footprints of faith. Listen to some quotes as it regards faith. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, faith is taking the step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking a step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Thomas Aquinas said, to one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible. Plato said, we are twice armed if we fight with faith. Blaise Pascal said, in faith there is enough light for those who want to believe and enough shadows to blind those who don't. Pascal also said, faith is different from proof. The latter is human and the former is a gift from God. Love those quotes. Even, you know, when I look at the word faith, do you know that in the King James Version of the Bible, the word faith in the New Testament alone, forget the entire Bible, just in the New Testament alone, the word faith is mentioned 245 times. 245 times. So understand that faith is important to God in the life of the believer. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That's how important it is to have faith, because God said without it you cannot please him. You know how I love my acronyms, and when I look at the word faith, a simple acronym to remember about the word faith is finding assurance in trusting him. When I have faith, I find assurance in trusting him. Understand something, that faith means finding assurance in trusting him, and I can have faith in God because I understand what that God is. Back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the King James Version says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he is God. He is the one and only sovereign God, and beside him there is no other. God said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and besides me there is none else. So when we come to him, we first have to understand that he is God, beside him there is no other, and that he is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we look at God, understanding that he is, we understand three prominent things about God's nature. And these three prominent things alone helps us to establish a sure foundation and faith in God Almighty. Three prominent things. Watch this. You hear it often said. First of all, understand that when God is, watch this, those that come to him must believe that he is, not only that he is God, but his nature tells you what? That he is omnipresent. He is omnipresent. I can have faith in God no matter what I go through when I understand that God is everywhere. When we talk about God's immensity, that means God is everywhere simultaneously. So because God is always with me, I can put my trust and faith in him. I like a saying that I heard. It said, God doesn't have to go anywhere to be everywhere. God doesn't have to go anywhere to be everywhere. No matter where you go, know that God is with you. David said, if I go to the highest mountaintop, God is there. He said, if I make my bed in hell, God is there. God is everywhere simultaneously. And because I know God is always with me, I can put my faith and trust in him. Watch this. Also, God is omniscient, means that he is all knowing. I can put my faith in God because God knows everything and there's nothing he cannot do, which leads to the third point. He is omnipotent, meaning that he has all power. When I understand that I serve a God with all power, I can put my trusting faith in him. That's what happened with Elijah when he battled the priest on Mount Carmel. Elijah had a problem with the Israelites because they were always wavering. Sometimes they trusted in God and sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they trusted in God and sometimes they didn't. So Elijah asked the question, how long shall you be halted between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. And if you think he's not God, would don't serve him. And to make a point, Elijah challenged the priests of Baal, which were about 400 priests. And we hear the story on Mount Carmel. It says that Elijah issues a challenge and he says, we're going to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And whichever God consumes the sacrifice, let him be God. And we know the story that Elijah was such a gentleman that he allowed the priest of Baal to go first. And, you know, they built the altar and they dug a trench around the altar and they put the sacrifice on the altar. And it says that the priest of Baal began to call out to their God. And they called all day long and they begin to get desperate, so much so that they begin to take sharp objects and cut their flesh, because they believe that if they cut themselves and their God saw blood, that he would answer them. But the Bible says nothing happened. And then finally, Elijah stands up and he says, it's my turn. And he has so much faith in his God that he said, I want you to take some water and I want you to trench the sacrifice and I want you to pour water into the trenches that are dug around the altar. And the Bible says that soon as he opened his mouth unto his God, that it rained fire down from heaven, so much so that it burnt up not only the sacrifice, but the altar, and sucked all the water out of the trenches. That's putting your trusting faith in God. Psalms 14 and 1 says this about the man who exercises foolish unbelief in God. Psalms chapter 14 and 1 from the King James Version Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. The reason why the Bible says that the foolish says in his heart that there is no God, because if God never sent a preacher, if God never sent a prophet, his workmanship shows who he is. It is amazing that years ago, when science tried to disprove God, more and more scientists today are standing up saying that no matter how much I try to disprove God, when I really look at our world and how the universe is set up, it is only evidence that it's someone of great design that put everything together. And when we look at the fact that our earth alone, if we were just a little bit further from the sun, we would freeze to death. If we were a little bit closer to the sun, we would burn up. And when we look at the expanse of the universe and the stars and the planets, God said, a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Understand that faith doesn't try to prove God. Let me ask you a question. When you came in this morning and you sat down in those chairs preparing to hear the word of God, did you first examine the chairs to see if the legs would hold you when you sat down? I didn't see anybody in here taking evaluation of their seats to see if their seats were strong enough to hold them. You had faith when you sat down that this chair would be able to hold my weight. When we were in school and they taught us about Abraham Lincoln and they taught us about George Washington, nobody was filled with doubt trying to wonder if Abraham Lincoln or George Washington actually really ever existed. Well, it's the same way with God. Faith, genuine faith, does not try to prove God or prove who he is. Understand something else. That when you have faith, understand our enemy, the devil, that walks the earth as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, will begin to mess. That's a fundamental principle. When God blesses, the devil messes. But the good thing about that is when you truly have faith, you will press even through the mess. Understand something, that what you believe will determine how you live. So when you really believe in God, when the devil starts to mess, watch this, by faith, you will press through the mess. When you begin to encounter trials and tribulations of all sorts, your faith will help you press past that. When you begin to get sick in your body and different ailments and infirmities overtake your flesh, watch this, your faith will press through that. How many of you know that even when you struggle with your own sin, your faith in God will press even through that? Takes us back to our message on last week. The righteous fall seven times, but rises again. I have faith that if I continue to put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ and I continue to draw close to God, that God will draw close to me, and one day I will begin to hate those things he hate and love those things he love, and I will take upon the image of my daddy. Faith will help us press even through our own sin and our own shortcomings. I love something that I heard. It said this. Watch this. Faith is responsibility. Faith is responsibility. It is our response to God's ability. That's what faith is in the life of the believer. It is responsibility. It is our response to God's ability. True faith doesn't trust in their own or your own ability. That is what happened with Moses. Remember when God called Moses? He said, I'm going to send you to Israel because I've heard the cries of my people. We know the story, the nation of Israel, they were in Egyptian bondage for about 400 years. And God finally sends Moses and he said, surely I've heard the cries of my people. And I'm going to send you to deliver them. And we know the story, how Moses lacked faith. And the reason why Moses lacked faith is because he looked at his own, not abilities, but inabilities. Instead of looking at God's abilities, he looked at his own shortcomings and abilities, and he began to say, Lord, why are you sending me? I'm not a good speaker. And the crazy thing about that is when you examine the life of Moses, the Bible tells us about Moses that he was learned in the ways of the Egyptians, and he was powerful both in word and deed. The Bible says he was powerful in word, but he stands before God when God says, I'm sending you to deliver my people. He stands before God and says, I'm not a good speaker. Then he says, who shall I tell them sent me? And God said, tell them I am that I am have sent thee. Sometimes we look at Moses and we begin to criticize in our own heart, not realizing that oftentimes we do the same thing. When God first sent me to preach, oftentimes I would get nervous when I would stand behind a roster and, you know, I would have the butterflies prior to me preaching a message. But then I said to myself one day, I said, you know what? I said, I'm no longer going to do that. I have to put my total trust and faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus called me and sent me to do this thing. I didn't send myself. And because Jesus gave me the vision, he will also give me the provision, meaning his word and his ability to preach his word. Who are you trusting in? We can have faith in God because we have the surety that he will never leave us or forsake us. Listen to these following scriptures, and it should give you hope and establish your faith. First, or Deuteronomy 31 and 6. The first scripture, Deuteronomy 31 and 6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In that same book, Deuteronomy 31 and 8, it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Joshua 1 and 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. 1 Kings chapter 8 and 57, may the Lord your God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 20. David also said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work of the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. And I give you just one more. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And watch this. Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And I say it one more, but this is the last one. Jesus said that he would never forsake his followers when he said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is a New American Standard Bible. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And then watch this. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. If that doesn't establish your faith, I don't know what will. The fact that we know no matter what we go through, Jesus is there with us through hardship, through trials and tribulations, whether I'm sick, whether I'm healthy, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, in every situation of my life, on the mountaintop, in the valley, I have the surety that Jesus is with me and he will be with me even unto the end of the age. God is with us. He's with us in several ways. Watch this. One of the ways that God is with us is through his word. When I'm discouraged and I'm going through, my faith can be established by absorbing his word. My faith can be established by absorbing his word. He's also with us by his spirit. When Jesus left, Jesus said, "It is expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the comforter will not come." And one of the term of the word comforter is parakletos, which means one that is called by our side. So know that as I walk this Christian walk, I am not walking alone. The Holy Spirit is right by my side, leading me and guiding me. John chapter 17, verses 18 through 21 in the New American Standard Bible says it this way: "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone," this is Jesus praying to his Father, "but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." The wonderful thing about God is we don't have to see him to know that he's with us. In that same book, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 29, the English Standard Version says, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I like the way the Amplifier says it. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, do you now believe, trust, and have faith? Blessed and happy and to be envied are those who have never seen me and yet have believed and adhered to and trusted and relied on me." So the Bible tells us that even though we have not seen Christ, even though we have not seen God, when we put our trust and faith in them, we are blessed. We don't have to see it to believe it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I close with this. Understand that in our lives, our most difficult times require the strongest faith. Even when we go through things and we're seeking God, and God's reply is something that we don't understand, if we say that we truly trust in him, we will obey what he says, even in times of crisis. I like the story I heard called The Fall. It says that a man named Jack was walking along a steep cliff one day when he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down and, to his horror, saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. So Jack began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing by would hear him and lower a rope or something. "Help, help, is anyone up there? Help!" he yelled for a long time, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice say, "Jack, Jack, can you hear me?" "Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here." "I can see you, Jack. Are you all right?" the voice said. Jack replied, "Yes, but who are you? And where are you?" The voice answered, "I am the Lord, Jack, and I'm everywhere." Jack replied, "The Lord? Do you mean God?" God said, "That's me." Jack cries out in excitement, "God, please help me. I promise How many of us make promises when we're going through? I promise if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a good person and I'll serve you the rest of my life. And God said, easy on the promises, Jack. Let's get you down from there. Then we can talk about everything else. Now, here's what I want you to do, Jack. Listen carefully. Jack replied, I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do. God simply said, okay, let go of the branch. Jack replied, what? God said, I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me and let go. After which there was a long silence, and finally Jack yelled, help, help! Is there anyone else up there that can help me? How many times have we gone through something and we say we put our trusting faith in God, but when he tells us to let go, what happened to that faith? I want you to understand something, that it takes faith to let go. Understand this simple principle. In order to grow, we sometimes have to let go. By faith, we have to let go of our fears. Sometimes we have to let go of that relationship. Sometimes we have to let go of our money. Sometimes we have to let go of our guilt and our shame. Simply put, let go of anything that stagnates your faith. Understand that the greatest act of faith any human could ever do is putting their trust and faith in Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, i.e. puts their trusting faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, the Bible says, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you trust him today? I never take for granted that everybody's that's sitting here is born again, because only God knows that, and you, the believer, knows that. I've seen people come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They sit in the pew, but they never have a heart conversion. Is that you today? I admonish you to put your genuine trusting faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. I'm not trusting in baptism. I'm not trusting in good works. I'm not trusting in my tithes and my offering. I put my genuine trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Maybe you're here today and you're going through something in your life and you don't understand what you're going through. I would admonish you to put your faith in Christ today. The songwriter said, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. I admonish you just to have a little bit of faith today. You don't need a whole lot. Just use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we realize that we encounter often moments in our lives, God, that may cause us, God, a temporary mindset of unbelief. But God, we ask that even during those times, we would not shrink back, but you would help us by the power of your Spirit to remain faithful. Because having true faith, God, we know and we understand, requires to remain faithful. So even during our hard times, God, those situations that we do not understand, help us by the power of your Spirit to remain faithful. God, we ask that as the week approaches, that you would even give us the opportunity to invite others to put their trusting faith in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior. And we even put our trust and faith in you concerning that, that when we would speak your word, it would not be by our power or by our might, but it would be by your power, God, that you would give us the words to speak and the things to say. Father, we know that our challenge always is that we would not simply be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And now, God, as we prepare to depart this place, but never your presence, we ask that you will go with us, O God, and that you will extend to us your traveling mercies. Father, we'll be ever so careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for it. We ask it now in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord. And everyone said amen and amen. We do have refreshments in the back.